When you stumble across a locally owned or minority-owned radio station, it comes as a jolt after the cookie-cutter sounds of corporate stations that now clutter the airwaves. Here's a sampling of Black-owned stations in Los Angeles, Chicago, Springfield, Massachusetts, and Jackson, Mississippi.
It is the D.L. Hughley Show. We got a great show lineup for you. But before we get to that, The pandemic still rages, taking the lives and hospitalizing many Americans, many people around the world. Also, so does the battle for equality and justice. The uprisings still continue to happen, so we have a moment of silence. All right, coming up, Jen. You just
lost one. Radio Free. You just lost 102.3 KJLA. Lauryn Hill, Lost Ones. Got to send a shout out to my crew, Felicia, Renee, and Becky, checking us out. Seal Beach First Responders. And all the rappers in the top 10,
please allow me to bump. I want to go back in time. When did this song come out? Can we go back in time? I want to go back to the 90s. The 2000s suck, y'all.
We make a point of telling you the names of the songs that we play. We are 106.3 Smooth FM. That is Tim Watson. It's called Life of the Party. Who's the life of the party in your house? I know. Hey, folks, coming up next.
But of the 11,000 commercial radio stations in the U.S., fewer than 180 are Black-owned. And that last one there is owned by Carol Moore Cutting. She's president, CEO, and general manager of Cutting Edge Broadcasting, WEIB-FM, a jazz station in Western Massachusetts. We wanted to talk to her about her own story, but also the dearth of locally owned, minority-owned radio stations. Last month, Carol signed her name to a statement from a national group of Black broadcasters asking the government to get involved again in increasing the number of women and minority-owned stations. We'll explain. Carol, welcome.
Thank you.
Let's hear a little of your story first. You'd come to Massachusetts from the South with your husband. What compelled you about a radio station?
Well, coming from the South, I was really surprised when there were no African-American or anything that I could relate to culturally, or there was no diversity in the market. And so we had no idea where we could find simple things that we needed to connect to the community of color.
Well, where to get your hair done, maybe, or
church. Yep. Exactly. And I was surprised because I was sure in progressive New England, it would be totally different. And coming from that Tuskegee University, Booker T. Washington kind of spirit of believing that you needed to do what you could in the community, cast down your bucket where you are and make a difference. And yep. So that's what I tried to do.
And we should be clear, you are a Black woman from the South who landed in New England as Boston was in the middle of a race crisis over busing. Your dream to start a radio station was born in about 1970. Lots of research at the library followed. You applied for a construction permit to build in 1984 and went through a protracted battle for 15 years because someone else wanted the broadcast license. They're very difficult to get. So let's back up, because there's a history of racism in broadcast licensing. The government began awarding the airwaves in the 1930s. All of these early licenses went to white men. In the 1970s, the FCC tried to remedy this with a minority ownership policy. That would give a tax break to people willing to sell to minority owners. And that worked. Minority ownership increased. But then in 1995, that tax break was overturned by the Republican-led Congress, and all that success was undone. We hear the statistics now. But you were buffeted by these wins all along and finally did win the license. You launched in 1999. So what became your role? I see pictures of you with wonderful-looking young people of color. So obviously there's mentoring. There's bringing in voices of color. But how else would you say you are a place where community can gather?
Mentoring is very important, because I would not have this radio station if I had not turned on the television and saw another African-American woman on the airwaves in Hartford, Connecticut.
Gayle King.
Yes. Well, she doesn't remember properly who I am or the significance she played in my life as a broadcaster. But I was so in a bind as to whether or not it was worth it for my family that I called her and said, "You don't know me, but I'd like to speak with you." And I explained the situation in my quest for the broadcast license. And she was very encouraging. And so I felt stronger and felt, oh, well, I can continue to do this. And we did. Now, I try to make sure that if people are interested in anything, I try to be that role model for women. And so our children or our young people, what do we do in the community? We focus a lot on the activities that are going on in the community, positive things, and try to be there to support organizations that are also doing things to help out our community.
Well, and I can hear listeners saying whether or not it's minority owned, and it is, that's hugely important. Most communities are missing a radio station that's local because of media consolidation. I mean, I'm sure you see that as one of the biggest problems. Clear Channel. Yeah.
Oh, it's definite. Corporate broadcasters have the resources and what have you that I, as an independent, I don't have. And so we have to be very resourceful.
Yeah. Well, Clear Channel, which is now called iHeartMedia, wiped out locally, much of the locally owned radio, you know, just buying up stations across the country, which is why they all sound alike. So you've signed on to a letter from the National Association of Black-Owned Broadcasters outlining the failings in the diversity of media ownership. I'm imagining that top of your checklist is maybe bring back that tax incentive so that owners once again have an incentive to look beyond the white owners that they know from corporations like Clear Channel?
Well, absolutely. It would be so much better because during that period when it was in existence, the number of black and people of color and female owners increased. And when we lost that incentive, it meant that there was no reason to sell to people of color.
We know there was legislation introduced by Congressman G.K. Butterfield, H.R. 3957, Expanding Broadcast Ownership Opportunities Act of 2019, which would reinstate that tax certificate.
Yes. And so the enactment of that legislation would make a big difference and give existing broadcasters the incentive to sell and to seek out black and minority-owned women and women broadcasters in this country.
You're also asking for other changes in the industry. You want advertisers to invest in black-owned radio stations, buy airtime. The government also buys time for ads. You want those dollars as well. And you want people of color to hold corporate board seats at broadcast stations. Do you think all of this is especially possible during this moment of change?
I certainly hope so, because it's really sad when in 2020, Carol Moore Cutting is the only locally owned commercial radio station, AM or FM, owned by blacks in this whole New England area. That is sad. So I hope so.
That's Carol Moore Cutting. By the way, at hearingnow.org, we'll link you up to her station if you're in other parts of the country. Again, owner of Cutting Edge Broadcasting in Western Massachusetts and creator of WEIB FM Radio. Carol, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you for the opportunity on behalf of all the National Association of Black-Owned Broadcasters.
We'll also post a directory of black-owned radio stations and the statement that Carol signed demanding change in the broadcast industry at hearingnow.org.